are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gotsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, FanRag Sports, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word, and you can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. I just ask that you're nice. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. I'm very excited because I have an old buddy joining me today. My former co-host of It's About the Money, Dominic Lanza, is on the show. We're going to be talking about Hall of Fame voting. We will be discussing Dan Shaughnessy's ballot, which I discussed on yesterday's show, but I wanted another perspective, which we got Dominic's perspective. We're also talking about the Hall of Fame as a whole and our feelings about who should be in, who shouldn't be in, and what the Hall of Fame should actually be. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. As I teased at the top of the show, I have a guest today, and I'm very excited about this because we used to have our own podcast back in the day, and I am thrilled to welcome Dominic Lanza to the show. Dominic, one, thank you for doing this, and two, how are you?
One, thank you for having me. Two, thank you for remembering how to pronounce my last name. And three, I'm doing pretty well, all things considered. You know, here we are at the end of the world, but spring training starts in a month or so, and hey, baseball's pretty cool.
As far as we know, spring training is starting in the month.
No, it's starting in a month. Put the energy out there.
I know, we need all the positive energy possible. Now, it's our favorite time of the year, Hall of Fame voting. I think everything's done, and now we just have to wait for the announcement in a couple of weeks. And because of that, some of the ballots are slowly trickling out and being publicized. And as I said on yesterday's show, if you guys listened, Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe had a ballot that I was complaining about for about 5 minutes. And Dominic, I wanted to get your thoughts on this ballot because last year he voted Derek Jeter only, which was ridiculous. Also, this year he decided to do Jeff Kent only. And out of all the guys on that ballot, there are a bunch that are Hall of Fame worthy. I'm not even sure Kent is. And what do you think of this ballot?
I could go on a rant about how I hate all these writers using their ballots to make a political statement or a personal statement or whatever it is. But I won't do that just because we've been over and over and over that 1,000 times. But I look at a ballot like that and I just don't see where the rationale comes in. You know, like hypothetically, let's say, okay, he's not going to vote for steroid guys. So there goes Clemens, Bonds, Sosa, Sheffield, Ramirez, whoever. Pettit, I guess, would be on that list too. He's not going to vote for scumbags. So there goes Curt Schilling. Or there goes Omar Vizquel. Mm-hmm. There goes Todd Helton. He has a few DUIs. There goes Andrew Jones, another guy with domestic violence issues. But then you come down to somebody like Scott Rolen or Billy Wagner, both of which have way more compelling cases than Jeff Kent. And I just don't get, how you go so far down to say that Jeff Kent is the only person who is worthy of Hall of Fame based on, you know, whatever asinine criteria you're coming up with. I'm pretty sure, I know Shaughnessy's talked before about not voting for steroid users. I know that's been his hill to die on for a while, but I can't even twist my mind into a place where I can understand how Kent is the only guy there. If you want to say, hey, Scott Rolen is the best guy on the ballot who has no criminal record and no steroid use, I get that. But, I mean, I wouldn't agree with it. But Kent is just so far down the list of, like you said, the Hall worthy players on there that it just, it really doesn't make, I mean, I think Mark Burley is more of a Hall of Famer than he is. I mean, Jeff Kent has that, he has that record that people like to talk about, that he has the most home runs hit as a second baseman, right, which is cool. I mean, it's a nice little bit of trivia, but, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I remember seeing something that was like, he has like the 16th or 17th best offensive second baseman of all time when you consider all offensive metrics, which is pretty great, don't get me wrong, but he was also a bad defensive player. So you're not talking about somebody who's the 16th or 17th greatest first base, second baseman ever. You're talking about somebody who's like maybe top 25. So maybe, you know, bottom tier of Hall worthiness for the position. Mm-hmm. And then you compare him to Scott Rolen, who by all measures is a top 10 third baseman, or Billy Wagner, who by all measures is a top 10 reliever. You know, relievers in the Hall of Fame is another discussion entirely, but I just don't get it. I mean, maybe he likes the mustache. I don't know. Maybe he likes the New York connection. That's why he went Jeter only and Kent only. Kent did play for the Mets for a minute, but I really can't get it. And no explanation I'm reading is going to make me get it.
Right. As I said on the show yesterday, I'm sick of these guys using their Hall of Fame ballots to make a statement that they could make in an article. Like, I there are so many of these guys who do this. I was saying how even when they only pick three guys, it annoys me when there are more than three guys who are worthy. And the whole steroid thing, this is how I feel about it now. Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. Bud Selig might as well have put the needles into these guys' asses when the steroid era was happening, okay? He knew Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were on something. He didn't care because their home run race was getting people back into the seats after the strike in 94. I feel as if it's hypocritical for these writers who were also around during that time and knew these guys were on stuff. Come on, give me a break. All these guys were completely bloated and hitting the crap out of the ball, and no one said boo about anything. And now all of a sudden they're high and mighty. Oh, I can't vote a steroid guy into the Hall of Fame. It's an era in baseball. It happened. You should acknowledge it. Maybe say something. I don't know if you should say something on the plaque, but again, if Selig is in, all these guys should be in because he was culpable.
I actually, that's a good point about putting something on the plaque. Have you been reading any of Joe Posnanski's articles on the best players out of the Hall of Fame?
No. My ADHD is out of control. I can't read more than like a tweet lately. So, I can't read anything that's long, which is horrible. But, you know, what are you going to do?
That's Joe Posnanski to a T. But he's doing a little project on The Athletic called The Outsiders. He's writing about the 100 greatest eligible players not in the Hall of Fame. And at the start of every article, he writes what he would put on their plaque. And I think this is the way to handle it. Like for Mark McGwire, I just pulled this one up. It was the most recent one I read. He says on Mark McGwire's plaque, he would write, "Perhaps the greatest pure home run hitter the game has ever known. Big Mac's homer per 10.6 at bats is by far the best rate in the history of baseball, ahead of even Babe Ruth. Became an American sensation when he broke Roger Maris' single-season home run record, admitting using steroids. It was foolish and it was a mistake," he said. Why not put something like that on a plaque?
Mm-hmm.
You get to have your cake and eat it, too. You have these players who, by any reasonable measure, deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and you shine a light on their indiscretions.
Yep, I agree.
In a moment, we'll be talking more about the Hall of Fame and specific guys and their cases, and if we think character should play a part in someone's induction into the Hall of Fame. But first, are you ready for some football? Because there's going to be a bunch of it this weekend as the NFL playoffs are getting closer and closer to the Super Bowl. And if you want to make some bets on these games, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Some of the big games this weekend, well, they're all big games because they're playoff games, but There's a big matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady, and the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees. Right now, the Bucs are favored by +3. I mentioned yesterday that the Ravens and the Bills are facing off against each other, but the line has changed, and now Baltimore is +2.5. As for your defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, who will be facing the Cleveland Browns, they are -10, so the Browns are +10 against your defending champs. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. I'm a New Yorker and I don't drive, but if you drive and have a car or truck, you should go to rockauto.com. Because rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Join walking encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for your daily baseball talk. Subscribe today where you get your podcasts. Now, this is an interesting one. The whole Curt Schilling thing, this is what bothers me. Now, a few years back, he had retweeted that guy that had, what was it, Rope Tree journalists. Like, this guy was advocating for journalists to be lynched. And he basically retweeted that picture and said how cool it was. So he was basically agreeing with the guy. So that year, a bunch of writers decided not to vote for him for the Hall of Fame. Then the next year, a bunch of those writers decided to vote for him again. So I don't like the whole performative aspect of it, like this performative outrage that, oh, you know, I'm so outraged that he would retweet this. Why is it different a year later? You should still be outraged that he thinks that way about journalists, no matter what.
That's one of the reasons I've always disliked the "this guy's not a first ballot Hall of Famer" argument. I mean, somebody's in or they're not. What they did is right or it's wrong. Mm-hmm. If you're going to come around or change your mind, like you said, just be consistent about it. If you thought Curt Schilling was a Hall of Famer until X, and then X happens, and you change your mind should be changed. Unless something else happens that changes it. Exactly.
He's gotten worse.
Yeah, he's a COVID denier now. He's a fascist sympathizer, if not a fascist himself, but... if something changes, you know, somebody shows contrition or they show it was, this never happens because we have all the evidence we need. But if somebody shows that, look, the context wasn't really there, fine, change your mind. Like with Maguire is, as far as I know, or at least in my opinion, he's the only guy who has really come forward and shown contrition for taking steroids. He's apologized. He's admitted to using steroids intentionally, which is a big one. He admitted to using steroids and knowing that it made him better, which is not, Pettit said that he took HGH and all that to make him get healthy. But most of them claim it was an accident or claim they only did it for a short time. Maguire embraced it. You know, maybe he didn't say, this is how I did it. This is where I injected it. This is what I used. But somebody doing something like that makes you change your mind, fine. But time shouldn't heal all wounds. Somebody's worthy or they're not. And unless something changes for the better or the worse, I don't get how your ballot can change from one season to the next. Unless you're, like you said, you're using it to make a political statement instead of using it for, you know, what it's meant for.
Right. I just,
I don't want Schilling in. I know that he's below the threshold right now, at least according to the public ballots, but I'm so afraid of the ones that aren't public. You know, people tend to be braver when they don't show their ballots. And I was saying this yesterday, you know, I understand that getting into the Hall of Fame is, it's supposed to be about your playing career, but I feel as if between the time you retire and the time you're on the ballot, and even the time you're on the ballot, if you're doing really horrible things, you shouldn't be allowed into the Hall of Fame, no matter how good a player you are.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're a criminal or something, I guess it could be two things, right? It's a way to preserve baseball history, and it's an honor.
Right.
Do these people deserve an honor? Like, should Omar Vizquel, who's actively being investigated for beating his wife, should he get that honor? No. And then, you know, you turn to, this is a place for baseball history. And I've been to the Hall of Fame twice. And long before you get to the plaque room, you see plenty of stuff about these players. Is it weird being in the plaque room and not seeing a plaque for Barry Bonds or going back somebody like Shoeless Joe Jackson? Yeah. But there's stuff about them throughout the museum itself. There's displays about breaking the home run record. There's displays about, you know, Black Betsy for Shoeless Joe Jackson. There's displays for Pete Rose breaking the base hit record. So it's not like the Hall of Fame is silent as to these players. So I'm not sure how much we should even consider the Hall of Fame is here to preserve and celebrate history when the history is preserved and celebrated in what makes up, you know, 90% of the building itself. The plaque room is relatively small considered.
Yeah, that's my whole, I go back and forth between, it's just a museum and, you know, it shows every aspect of baseball, so why not just put those guys in the Hall of Fame? And then there's the other part of me that thinks, well, okay, but certain guys, there should be some sort of honor to it. It's very hard for me to reconcile because part of me is like, who cares? Just let him in. And the other part of me is like, yeah, but that part should probably be special, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I guess what I'm getting at is kind of that there's no easy answer to this, but I just think there needs to be consistency. Somebody's a Hall of Famer or they're not. Your ballot shouldn't be a tool.
Right.
If you really don't want to vote for anybody for the Hall of Fame or you want to make a statement, I have way more respect for the writer who says, I'm not casting my ballot because of protest. Is that stupid? Yeah, probably. But I'd rather have that protest ballot not being submitted than have it be submitted and screw somebody who's worthy because this writer has a vendetta against Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's happening. A lot of these people who submit blank ballots, which I think there's two or three already, they're hurting Scott Rolen. They're hurting Billy Wagner, Jeff Kent. They're hurting all these guys who, as far as we know, have no connection to any of this BS that went on, and it doesn't prove anything. It just hurts players.
Right. Right. And again, the whole, I don't know, it's hard because the writers are basically being the gatekeepers, and I just feel, I don't know, part of me feels like they shouldn't have that power. I feel like they need to change the Hall of Fame voting. I don't know how. I don't have an idea to propose as to how to fix it, but some of these guys haven't written about baseball in years also, which is another problem. I feel as if you stop writing about baseball, you shouldn't be able to, no matter how many years you wrote about baseball. If you're not doing it anymore, then you shouldn't have a ballot.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you're retired, or if you're one of those writers who writes about golf now or hockey or is a political writer now, you probably shouldn't have a vote. You don't understand what the game is anymore.
Exactly. And
but no, I was just going to say, I agree with you. I don't know the way to make it better because fans will be just as stubborn as writers.
Ugh,
and as we've seen from the various veterans committees, they vote with just as much bias, too. I mean, there's a reason why it took Marvin Miller forever to get into the Hall of Fame, because owners and managers on the veterans committees didn't want to vote him in because he helped make unions.
Right.
And you know a lot of these veterans who don't want steroid users in either. I mean, Joe Morgan, rest in peace, but he wrote that lengthy letter to voters and people in the Veterans Committee, how they saying the players who are in don't want steroid users in. So is there a solution? I don't know. Maybe you get a more enlightened electorate if you, like you said, start culling the ranks of people who don't write about baseball anymore. Maybe you drop down the requirements to vote from 10 years in the Writers Association to 5 or something, so you get that next wave of people. I don't know, but there has to be some kind of a solution.
Right. And there, I mean, that next wave is happening. I mean, Jay Jaffe did his first ballot this year, and, you know, he has his book about the cases for all the different players getting into the Hall of Fame. This is his niche. And see that, and I spoke about that yesterday as well. You know, he took his time examining all the players, going through Jaws, looking at all that stuff, and putting out a thoughtful ballot when these other guys are just like, I'm not doing this, and handing in these either blanks or Jeff Kent only. And that is also annoying to see, where the newbies are so excited to finally be a part of this, and they actually take their time to do it, where the guys who've been doing it for years are just willy-nilly about it and like, yeah, here's my ballot. I'm putting one guy in.
They see it as a joke or a burden or a soapbox. They don't see it as an honor or, you know, a pleasant responsibility. I just really don't get it. The Hall of Fame is, it's just so, and this is just going to be a fan way of describing it, but it's so cool to hear about these players and see them making their speeches and see these plaques being made and the debates about what hat they'll wear and all that little thing. It's something that, you know, helps connect us to baseball's history, which is really the thing that baseball has that other sports, at least in North America, don't have to the same degree. Baseball celebrates its history like no other sport, and the Hall of Fame is really what connects us to it. And treating it, like I said, like this soapbox is, it does more harm than good. It doesn't, I mean, I don't think there is any good to it.
So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Wednesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.